this feast of St. Simon and Jude the Apostles. We are called to remember the apostolic foundations of the church. And indeed, in today's gospel, we see that Jesus selecting his 12 apostles. And it's significant that the passage begins with Jesus going up the mountain to pray, and he spends the night in prayer with his Father. The mountain in sacred scripture is almost always a sign of intimate communion with God. So the image we have is that Jesus, the eternal Son, goes up onto the mountain, and there in a moment, or an evening in a way of intimate communion with his Father, he comes down with this decision to select these 12 men to be really pillars on which the church is going to be built, as St. Paul says, all on the capstone of Jesus Christ himself. It really is in a way kind of the beginning of the church. And the communion between the Father and Son, out of which this decision comes forth, we know is really the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is sometimes called really the soul of the church. And it really places then communion at the center of the church. So it's also striking when one, say, look at the profundity of the origin of this decision, that Judas the Iscariot is also chosen among the 12. And he who would be kind of a breaker of communion by betraying Jesus in his passion. I think there we can see as well two primary elements. The first is that this communion of God that he offers us in the church is really a gift, but one which requires our own free will and cooperation. He never imposes himself upon us, but allows us to freely participate in this communion. And the second thing would be going back to St. Paul's first reading, where he talks about the church being this building built on the capstone of Jesus, on the pillars of the apostles, is that this thread of communion, which originates between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, is ultimately something which can never be broken or which can never be trampled upon or overcome. In other words, there may be those who come along the way and foster disunity in the church or foster discommunion in the church, but that communion of the Most Holy Trinity, which is at the center of the church, will never be overcome, and therefore the stability of the church is always guaranteed. I think for us, as we reflect today in our own lives, we too are called to remember that we as well are called to be agents of communion within the church and in the world around us. Because the opposite of that would be an agent of disunity. I think when we look at the world around us, we can see that there is a whole lot of disunity, of pitting kind of an us against them, or even of creating a false unity, of pretending to be all-inclusive, but ultimately trampling upon the rights of some or of others. We also seem to live in a world where each of us, in a way, is tempted to prefer our own opinion and our own judgments over everybody else's. And sometimes, of course, there is a place for that, and we are called to use our intellect and form judgments. But as agents of communion, we're also called to give people the benefit of the doubt. And in particular, in that regard, when we think of the bishops of the church, of being the modern apostles, of being the continuation of these 12 pillars on which the church is built through Jesus Christ, we're called to remember that we owe a certain benevolence and goodwill in the judgments that we make, in particular to those in positions of authority of the church, and in that way to continue to strive to be agents of communion upon which the church is built. And so today, as we go forward, let us ask God for the grace that we would always give thanks that the teaching of our faith is something founded on the rock of Jesus Christ, transmitted to us through the apostles that we continue to receive today. And let us ask for the grace that we would always be agents of communion in the church and in the world in which we live. Amen.